Let's just do questions for a while. Anybody? Oh, you had a question from this morning or something? I don't remember. Okay. Oh, Johnny, oh, you have a... Oh, excellent. He's on top of it.
Check.
Let's start with Jerome. I think I promised him an answer. I'm not sure. Depends on the question.
So we've been talking a lot about doing dedications and doing them properly.
Wait, I just want to point out something. Okay. Oh. How do you tell that someone's from Canada?
Oh, no.
We've been talking a boot. A boot. And then you're like checking for shoes and boots. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to go home now.
Huh? For the video, you mean? Can you please stand up and ask the question, if you don't mind? It's a boat, right? That's too much.
I don't even know what I was going to ask now. So the question was, we've been talking a lot about how to make a dedication more powerful. And so we've also talked about in the past about rededicating previous karmas. And can you just talk a bit about that?
Good.
That was it.
It's a nice question. And it comes up in the DCI trainings. Your past karmic seeds have either gone off or not gone off. Okay? Like good things you did in the past have either already gone off or they haven't gone off yet. And I feel like the question is kind of like if the seed already went off, you know, like I helped an old lady and now I got a nice partner. Can I still rejoice about having helped the old lady which caused my nice partner? What do you think? Of course, you get more mileage out of the same seed and you don't have to do more stuff. So that's the amazing thing about rejoicing, that you can rejoice about a karma sak nyong, okay? Sak tsang dang nyong. It has been successfully planted and already experienced Vedaniya. And you can still be happy about it and you make new seeds. So oftentimes when you get stuck, like you're not... Being stuck on doing coffee meditation is the most common Dharma problem in the world. Okay? In this room also. You know, if we could just break through and appreciate ourselves and our own good deeds more. If you, when you went to bed, you thought about the 99 good things you did and not about the 1 5-minute problem you had with somebody today. But if you're like me, I obsess on the problem with five-minute problem. I went to China, turning on 1.2 billion people, and I'm worried about something somebody said to me 2 hours ago. And that occupies my whole thoughts. I can't break out of it, you know. I have to think about it as I fall asleep. And I struggle and I can't stop, you know. So I think... You probably have enough seeds in your mind already to become a Buddha. You don't have to do anything new. It's weird. You've lived countless lifetimes. You've done countless sweet things for people. If you could just somehow hook into those seeds and wake them up, you know, you probably don't have to do all these 3-year retreats and stuff. Okay. You see what I mean? Like, you already have enough seeds to become a Buddha. They're sitting there. Inside of you. You just have to do coffee meditation and wake them up, you see. So, of course, yeah, you can do that. But there's another implication in the scriptures, which is cool, that you might want to hear. You can take any good event in your life, any nice person you've met, any sweet thing that ever happened to you, and you can do detective work and guess what the cause was, karmically, and without remembering where they came from. I met my teacher when I was 17. So that karma was collected before I was born. And I don't remember that, you know, but I can look at my teacher and I can say, I must have done something extraordinary, right? I must have done extraordinary things. Then to be happy about those karmas, right, that you don't even remember anymore, you like, they like multiply a billion times. It's cool. You can deduce a karma you must have done, and you can do coffee meditation on that. So to say I don't have anything to do coffee meditation on is dumb. If, by the way, in scripture they would say, the answer to a person who says, I don't have anything to do coffee meditation on, I didn't do a single nice thing today, they'd say, are you in your body? They say, yeah, I'm in my body. Do you realize that a human body with tens of thousands of acting like a very complicated machine, each interaction, tens of thousands of interactions per hour in the human body is a result of thousands of good karmas. You know, your body would fall apart without millions of good karmas. If you're in a human body, you can do coffee meditation on that. If you are lying on your bed, that's proof that you have something to do coffee meditation on. How's that? You can quote me. All right? Okay? They say that in the scripture. Okay? You wouldn't be in a human body. Human bodies are one in the billions. You know, you're already in a select group if you have two arms and two legs. Okay? Really, you're already up there in the karmic ladder. You're in the top 0.00001 percentile, you know, if you have a human body. You're already a saint. Okay? Next. Jeff Eddy, your questions are too hard. How about Esther? Go, Esther. They really are. Who put this chocolate here? Mean. You gotta stand and look at Rebecca.
So I get that.
Can you stand? Do you mind to stand up?
I do mind to stand up. Okay. Yeah. I don't let like having my back to you. It doesn't feel.
I don't mind. I give you permission. No, lots of Chinese will see this video, etc.
I get that. Getting angry at a bodhisattva logically makes sense to me, that it would be destroying virtue, but why just getting angry at a normal schmuck? Why would that? Why, or even myself? Why would that destroy virtue? And I mean, it creates more anger in the future and stuff. But why does it destroy virtue?
Okay. So the quotation in the Bodhisattva Charyavatara is famous, you know, and it's, if you get angry at a bodhisattva, you will destroy billions of years of karma. But then it also states that in the Madhyamakavatara, so in Master Chandrakirti's classic on emptiness, it says the same thing. I can't recall a discussion of the mechanism of why it is. We went through it in the monastery, we debated it from that book, but I don't recall. Anybody have an idea? Why would anger, out of all the 84,000 negative emotions, why would anger destroy good deeds, good karma? I don't know. I guess. Jerome said it infects how you see people afterwards for a long time. You the whole world looks bad for a while, and everyone looks mean, and maybe it keeps poisoning your mind, right?
It's probably along the lines of what Jerome said, but probably because if you can get angry at all, then you're having such, and it's such a strong emotion, and you're having such an intense wrong view that would be the thing that would cause that anger. So you're misunderstanding so severely the nature of the thing that you're angry at, that it's like that can only, maybe it makes the prana flow in such a way that it's going to keep you misunderstanding things. And
how do you misunderstand?
By thinking that it has some sort of inherent existence, or thinking that it's not coming from you.
Yeah.
So you're so certain, because if you're angry at it, there's no, that's the polar opposite of thinking it comes from you.
Yeah, good. I think anger assumes an intention on the other person's part to hurt you. To react with anger assumes an intention on the other person's part to hurt you, which is not true if they're coming from you. So what Nick is saying, the wrong view is so extreme. When you're really angry, you really believe that it's the other person's fault. And then that's such a wrong view that it would poison all the seeds. Venerable Phil has an idea. Wait for the mic to come to you. Please.
But then why wouldn't correct view and all the good karma be restored is when you were no longer angry? Or at least within 6 hours later or something.
I can say one thing. I can answer that in one way. If you plant a seed with an active awareness that the other person is coming from you, that seed is infinitely more powerful, which is what the whole point of Ngoa Gomlam, right? At post direct perception emptiness, when you are dedicating a good deed that you did, it's infinitely more powerful. But can it recover a seed that was burned by the anger? In the scriptures, they say the seed has been scorched, which is an important distinction. Why? Why don't they say the seed was destroyed? It's a very important principle of Buddhism that you cannot destroy a karmic seed. It's not possible. There's nothing that can destroy a karmic seed, because if you could destroy a karmic seed, there would be no justice in the world. You must get what you give. There can be no exceptions. No one can make an exception for you. If you could destroy some seeds and not destroy others, there wouldn't be any justice in life. Okay? You must get exactly what you give. Okay? But you can scorch a seed. Okay, they say scorch. And then that means, I always tell the story, I don't know, I can't remember what stories I told in what place, so please forgive me. I go to a different, I don't even remember what city I'm in sometimes. I say, I love it here in Guangzhou. And I also get people's names wrong, and I apologize for that, because I meet tens of thousands of people, and it's really hard. It's getting all mixed up in my head. Anyway, what was I talking about? Scorching seed. Yeah, you can scorch a seed and disable it. Oh yeah, the story is, so I went to the, I have a really nice store in Sedona, and my friend Nicole Vigna is kind enough to, she's my dealer. It's called Jay's Bird Store. You know that store, Ujay? They just do bird seed. Like, how a store can survive in America just doing, I don't know, but they do. Probably it's the prices they charge. But anyway, you can buy very exclusive primo sunflower seeds there, and it's cool. It's a nice store. It's a really nice to be in there, because it's such an innocent thing. And I asked the lady, you know, I have these little yellow finches that come to my house, and I like them so much. They have a sweet song. They go, whoo, whoo, you know, and they talk to each other like little dwarfs or something, and they're bright yellow, and they're so cheerful, and I'm like, I want more. How can I get more to come to my house? And she's like, you need Niger seed, you know, and I'm like, where does Niger seed come from? She says, India. So I'm like, oh, that's, I like that. You know, there's big bags in her store of Niger seed from India, and it smells like India. You probably know. It's a special smell. It's not a bad smell. It's a unique smell of India. And the bag, the burlap smells like that. And so I'm like, yeah, I'll take Niger seeds. And, you know, what's Niger? And she says, it's a thistle. It's a thistle bush. And I'm like, wait a minute, you know, I've been through that in my garden. You know, I used Bermuda grass to as hay, as straw, and then I had to pull Bermuda grass out for 2 years. And I said, no, I don't want the thistle. You know, I don't want thistle bushes all over my garden. And she says, don't worry, they've been radiated. You know, I'm like, what? And she's like, it's a law that you can't import these seeds without radiating the whole bag. So each bag of Niger seed is radiated. I'm like, well, how does that affect the little sweet little birds, you know? But she said, but they love it, you know? anyway, the seed is intact. The seed apparently tastes great. They eat it. They love it. They go wild over it. They spend all day eating it, and they don't stop, like me with chocolate. And so the seed is still intact. That's the idea. You see, you don't destroy the seed. You disable it. You disable it. Okay. So why is that relevant to what you said? You can't recover it after that. It's disabled. You can't like re-able it or something. Okay. Once you disable a seed, you can't, which is our good luck, right? It's like bad seeds. Once you disable them with four powers, you can't re-able them, okay? And I guess the opposite holds true. Once you've gotten angry and scorched a seed or radiated a seed, then you can't like re-viable it or something. You can't make it viable again. Yeah, it's not going to happen. That's my idea. But what I'd like you to focus on is more the idea of Jerome's question, which is... your coffee meditation should get very sophisticated. The people who are here this time, since we covered dedication and we've covered rejoicing, you should be the world's experts on coffee meditation, okay? And I want to repeat that you can be happy about good deeds you did 10 years ago or 20 years ago. There's no expiration date on the karma. It cannot be destroyed. It's there, you know? And you can be happy about it, and you get more good karma. And I would venture to say that you probably the process of becoming enlightened can only happen if you learn to do a good coffee meditation, because you can't collect that many good seeds unenhanced, you see? The process of doubling them or tripling them or making them into a billion is can only be done in the mind during coffee meditation. I would venture to say you can't become a Buddha unless you master coffee meditation. How's that? Okay, and any other questions? Tim had a question. You're pretty good. They're not so hard. Okay, Jeff, later, after him. Okay, but if it's hard, I'm kicking you out. Okay.
So in our study group last night, we were talking about this idea of question one, where you can plant the seed and then mold it into something directed towards something else. And we were discussing the laws of karma. And the first law of karma is like begets like. And there seems to be, to me, it seems a little bit of a disconnect between the two. And I'm wondering if you can kind of tie up that thread a little bit.
Yeah, good question. The first law of karma says that you get watermelons from watermelons and you can't get banana from a watermelon seed. So how can you redirect the karma? You know, you visited the old lady at the nursing home but you want to get rich? Like how can you just like redirect the karma, you know, if the first law of karma holds true? So we've done a thing in DCI, which is, I think it's nice. DCI is sort of a simplified Buddhism for people who want to achieve certain goals in their lives, which some people think is cynical, and I think the opposite. You know, I don't think it's cynical at all to make people financially successful or healthy or to have a nice partner. I don't think that's anti-spiritual at all. I think it's part of life. Everyone would like those things. And it's spiritual if you want to share it with others, you know? So recently in the manuals for the retreats, the DCI retreats, and tonight I'm going to show you some retreat photos and stuff, just for fun, if I get any time. I've been trying for like 3 days. We put a section in the manual called the ancient sources of what we're teaching you. So it's like a 50 or 100 page essay about where did the ideas come from that we're teaching in a business office or something. Like what scripture is it that said you could redirect a karmic seed? Okay, so I'm going to tell you about that because I think it's cool. It's called a Kuitse Duche Tangwa. Sorry. Sei Duche Tangwa. Sei. Duche. Tangwa. Sei. I'm sorry. Kuitse Duche Tangwa. Kuitse Duche Tangwa. And it's in the Abhidharma Kosha. And that's where I got it from. It's one of the ancient sources for the idea of the gold and silver to be able to remold it into something else. So it's a kind of a famous discussion in the Abhidharma Kosha of an idea that a person who has reached a high spiritual level could redirect their karma. And the example is arhats, certain kinds of arhats, who have created karmas that would make them live longer, okay? And there's this weird process by which they could give up some of that karma and convert it and offer it to other people. It's this really weird discussion. It's a very intriguing discussion of could someone actually give up some of the karma to live more years and give it to someone else, or put it in the form of physical things to give to other people? Or could you, how is that possible to redirect the karma? And they say yes, and they discuss it. But obviously it has a lot of philosophical problems. You can't give other people your karmas, right? That's not possible. But could you redirect the karma into some other object? You see what I mean? And so with the gold and silver, I think there has to be an essential similarity inside the thing you are redirecting to and the thing it would have been. Got it? So let's say I collected karma for a great partner, and then I wanted to direct some of that karma towards having credit cards that weren't, what do you call them, maxed out all the time. In America, that's better language than saying to become wealthy. In America, wealth is not to have your credit card maxed out. In China, they don't like credit cards. They don't use them. You can't sell a credit card in China. They don't like them. They think it's stupid. You should just make money and spend it. But anyway, I think there is a basic similarity of intention, okay? Most of the power of the seed comes from your intention, right? So when you're going to a nursing home, the intention is you want to have a partner or something like that, okay? Then if you wanted to redirect older seeds to a different goal, if you had strong enough intention and a clear enough intention, then it would work. Okay? It would work. So I have two answers. One is, I'm going to get more, you want to get more complicated? Is that okay? Okay, it's called the groundhog principle. It's also from Abhidharma. And yeah, he knows the groundhog thing. But it's like, if you collect karma to be, I hope I got it right, to be born as a groundhog, but groundhogs aren't born in that month, then you could be born as a dog, because dogs give pups all year. There's no like mating season for dogs. They can get pregnant all year. But groundhogs, it has to be a certain part of the year. I don't know. So the idea is transfer of karma. The karma could be redirected to a different result if that particular result can't happen right now. In the higher schools, they'd say that's not possible, okay? the world would change before a karma had to shift. You know, a groundhog would have a baby in the wrong month before a karma had to go somewhere else. So I would say, if there's a basic similarity between the cause and the result that you want, it's easily redirected. Like, I gave vanilla ice cream, but I don't like vanilla ice cream. And I don't want a result of vanilla ice cream. Then that's a small intention, and you say, I want chocolate. And then it comes back as chocolate, okay? So it's still ice cream. So that's not a problem, right? That's not such a big difference. But if you collected karma for a partner and what you really want is to clean off your credit cards, then that seems to break the first law of karma, where watermelons make watermelons, right? I would say, look at the intention, okay? Like, if you read, the intention is the strongest part of any karma. And if you changed your intentions for what would come from it, that would be enough to redirect most of the karma. How's that? Through a change of intention, okay? Because you direct karma through intention. You want to go deeper? Okay, here we go. There's four steps in creating a karmic act, right? Karma pa. Sampa jora tartu. Sampa, the second, has three elements. Okay? And we taught it in China. Were you guys there? Yeah, in Guangzhou? Was it in Guangzhou? I don't remember. Yeah, it was. No. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it was. No, it was in Singapore. No, it was in Malaysia. It was in Malaysia because Liang was struggling with the translation. So there are three elements in step number two, sampa. If you want to be a seed planting expert, which means to make your dreams come true, okay? If you want your dreams to come true, what are your dreams? I mean, do you know Maslow? Like, there's a pyramid of dreams. People all have the same basic dreams. Number one, if you don't have food, you want food. Okay, before you want spiritual enlightenment and a house and a partner, you want to eat today. That's just down there at the bottom of the level pyramid, you know. Everybody wants to eat today. And Buddha said that in the Madhyamikavatara in the introduction. People need material support to practice Dharma. The first karma you should seek is material support. Second, people want good health. Third, people want companionship. They want partners. They want friends. They want relationships. Four, they want mental peace. After you have the outside things, you want the inside things. And then five, no human being can achieve those first four goals and not want to share them with others by the time they get to the fourth one, okay? By the time you reach higher up on Maslow's pyramid, you have higher ambitions. You want to share these things with the whole world, okay? It's part of the process because you can't get the first four things without sharing them. So by the time you get to five, five is what? I want world peace. I want a world of no poverty, no death, no hunger, no loneliness. Nobody who doesn't have a relationship that they want. You know, I want a world like that. So those are the basic desires of a human being. Every human being wants those things. And no human being can sit in a restaurant surrounded by others who are not eating and have a nice big French meal. You won't feel comfortable. You cannot sit in a restaurant. What's that good one in Sofia? L'Etranger. Whoa. Nice French restaurant. We always go there after the last talk, and they open for us at midnight. And we sit there till like 3 in the morning, and it's nice. But imagine you're sitting in L'Etranger. It sounds, with 10 starving people from India, you know. Can you enjoy the croissant, you know, or the, what do you call it, creme brulee? You know, you're like, and they're all like, You can't. It's not possible. But that's where you are after you start using these things, and you become happy, and you get all your dreams, and then you're living in a world where everyone else is unhappy. You can't stand it. It's not fun to be happy in a world of unhappy people. So then naturally you try to share it with other people, okay? That's intention. So there are three parts of step two, sampa. The intention really involves three different intentions, okay? Here we go. If you want to become a more skilled seed planter, which you should be, okay? You should be, okay? What's the best way to teach anything? You learn it. If you want to learn a Rachmaninoff piano piece, don't come to me, because I can't do it. You know, I couldn't do 1 minute of it, even if I practiced for a couple years. Okay, I couldn't remember. He memorized the whole piece. Forget that the piece is impossible. He memorized the whole thing. You know, I can't do that. So people come to people who have what they want. If you want to learn to play that, talk to the guy who can play it, you know. If you want to learn to be happy, go to a person who's duh. Yeah. Then there are these unhappy people teaching. And I don't know how people get fooled into it. I don't understand it. They're like, I can make you happy. You know, and I saw this meditation teacher. They were like, you know, you want to learn meditation? I'm like, I don't know what meditation you're teaching, but I don't want to learn it, you know. So in this system, if you gain your goals, then that's the best way to teach. People will trust you. People will say, well, they know what they're talking about, okay? Here's the three things that make step number two more powerful. Say, Kunlong. Duché, Nyomong. Kunlong, Duché, Nyomong. And we had trouble in China. We ended up just using the Tibetan because we couldn't, on the stage at the moment, we couldn't come up with the Chinese. So anyway, Kunlong means, these are three things which make your seed planting more powerful, okay? What I'm trying to say is everyone in this room should be interested in that. Because everybody in this room has something they want. And it could be high spiritual thing, or it could be a low material thing. But it doesn't matter. They all come from the same place. So you got to learn to plant seeds. If you're alive, if you're a human, if you woke up this morning, of course you want something. Then learn to do these things. Learn to plant them, because you can get them. And it's the best way to get them. Fastest, easiest, foolproof. Kunlong, Duché, Nyomong. Okay, Kunlong. Intention. Okay, what is your intention when you do an act? I'm going to the nursing home because I want to find a partner. I want to plant a partner more properly. The language more properly is, I want to plant a partner. Okay? If that Kunlong is selfish, okay? If you go to a nursing home to help an old woman because you want a partner, but you really have no love for her, you just see her as an object. It's almost like a sex object, but it's a different kind. It's like treating someone as an object rather than a person, right? You're just my ticket to my boyfriend. You know, I don't really care about your life. I just need an old lady. Can I use you? You know, my question to you is, karmically, if you go to the nursing home and you if you visit an elderly person because you want to meet a partner, but you're selfish, your Kunlong is selfish, will it work or not? Will it still work or not? Yeah, the first chapter of Chandrakirti's book says, yes, if you plant a watermelon seed, and if it is, we call Xikwa Zhongzi, right, in China. If you plant that seed, sandia, and you put water, and there's sunlight, and there's fertilizer. Understand this beautiful thing from Buddhist scripture. Nothing can prevent that seed from growing. God cannot stop that seed. God cannot stop. The Buddha cannot stop that seed. Okay? If it has the water, if it's a viable seed, if it has all the conditions, there's no force in the universe which can stop it from growing. Okay? So even if your Kunlong is screwy, you just want to use the old lady, will you get a boyfriend?
Yes.
Yeah, but what? He'll be a selfish son of a gun. Okay? He'll be a selfish son of a gun. Okay, you get a boyfriend and you'll have to live with this guy who uses you for his purposes. Okay? Physical, financial, emotional, he will use you. Okay? Because you use someone to plan him without any concern for them or without any love for them. Okay? How do you prevent that? Love her. You know, love the old lady. What's the easiest way to expand that love to all living creatures? Because that's the, what do you call it, the golden fleece, right? That's what we all would like to be able to do. I would like to be able to love all living creatures. But I don't have the capacity. Then how could you get that capacity? How could you jack up the Kunlong to make it infinite? You could say dedicate, but what I'm thinking is it's a very simple mental process. Okay, I propose it to you. If I go to a nursing home with a kind heart and help this lady, then I will get a boyfriend. People will watch me. People will copy me. What do you call it? Flattery. What's the best flattery? Imitation is the best. People will imitate me. And then people will imitate them. And then it will spread like a virus. If this stuff works, it must spread like a virus. There's no choice. DCI programs must spread exponentially if they're true. If the method is true, nothing can stop it from spreading exponentially. It must spread exponentially. You must have to fly to more countries next year, okay? It must spread, okay? Because it works. And people will copy you, you know? Why don't people, I don't know, plant seeds by walking out in fields and dropping them by hand anymore? Because machines do it and they work better. So people don't try that anymore because something else works better. So people, they don't walk from Phoenix to Prescott. They take a car because it works. And you get there in time for the program, this year's program. You know? You know? It just works. I mean, if they see something that works, people are not stupid. They'll use it. So anyway, your Kunlong, if you wanted to be bodhicitta, universal love, when you go to the old lady's nursing home, you can think, people will copy me. If I'm successful, it will spread. I will be at ground zero of a boyfriend revolution, they call it. There's a lady in, I'm not supposed to say the country because she's very famous. There's a lady in a country on the other side of the world who's like the Oprah Winfrey in her country. And one evening we were at dinner at a DCI retreat and she said, I need a boyfriend. And I'm like, I told her about the old lady thing and she created the perfect boyfriend. He's from her country. He is a famous musician. He owns a house in the neighboring, bigger, more successful, wealthy country. And he's kind and sensitive and loyal to her and listens to her and washes dishes and everything. And she came to me and she said, all my friends are copying me, you know. I've created like a boyfriend revolution, you know? And then I'm like, that's bodhicitta. You see, that intention to be at the ground zero of a revolution, which doesn't cost you anything. It's just a mental trick, right? When you go to the nursing home, say, I'm going to be copied. What do you call it? People will imitate me. The action is the same. You visited the nursing home. But the Kunlong is Seme. What's that? Seme Shi. immeasurable. Okay, that's the immeasurables. When you study them in what text? Yoga Sutra. Okay, but they also come in many other texts. That's how to make the motivation unlimited. Okay, just it's true. It's gonna be unlimited. Countless people will copy you. And what I think is cool, at some point they will forget who started the revolution. And you will be an anonymous, we will all be anonymous, and the world will run by these principles, and we can sit and enjoy our work anonymously. You know, somebody will, we'll be sitting in a coffee shop and there'll be two ladies sitting there talking. We will be in Norway at a program, and they will show an advertisement on TV where you can get a free ticket to the movies if you take an older person with you. And you can sit there and say, I started that. Like, I came here to Oslo 2 years ago and we talked about it. And now the government caught up. You know? And then you're just this anonymous do-gooder, you know? And you're like, you know, all the old people are going to the movies in Oslo. Which is true, okay? Anyway, so that's Kunlong. Don't be wimpy on your Kunlong, okay? Because by using these principles, you are already at ground zero of a virus, okay? By doing things in a new way, people will copy you. It's inevitable. If people see a car and they're walking from Phoenix to Prescott, they'll try to get a car, okay? It's just duh. Okay, so it's not, you don't have to strain to think that you're changing the world when you use these principles, okay? When you sit in this class and learn different ways of enhancing karma, it's not a big mental strain to think that you're saving the world, because you are just by using them. Got it? Because people will copy you. And that's how it works. It's cool. It's automatic. So you might as well get credit for it. You might as well have that motivation from the beginning. I'm getting a boyfriend and I'm changing the world at the same time. I want both. Okay? That's the opposite of the selfish boyfriend. You want to play Oslo? Did I show you this? I can't remember. How many people didn't see the Norway thing? Let's try. Okay, let's do it. Then I'll continue on my answer later. Okay? Next session. The question was, how do you redirect the karma? The answer is coming very slowly. And we still have two parts of Sampa to cover, okay? Kunlong, Dushi, and Nyomong, okay? Let's look at this and let's stop for the afternoon, okay? I was halfway through an answer. Let's finish that first. So I don't remember what the question was, but anyway, I'll just keep going. How can you redirect a karmic seed if the first law of karma holds? And you're trying to dedicate a seed to something much different from what you collected. And then I eventually got to the three things inside of Sampa, inside of the second of the four steps, that would enhance the seed greatly. And in there's a clue about an answer for Tim, hopefully. So we were talking about three Tibetan words, which are Kunlong, Dushi, and Nyomong, okay? So Kunlong, we were talking about, you could have a motivation, for example, for helping a lonely person in a nursing home, which was selfish, and it would still work. It would still produce a boyfriend or a girlfriend. But they might be very selfish if your attitude towards the lonely person was very selfish. So then we said, there's no reason to be selfish in your attitude towards the boyfriend or the older person, because if you're using this system, it's automatically not selfish. It's automatically compassionate, because if you succeed in reaching your dreams because you use this seed system, then other people will imitate you, and automatically you'll be at the center of a boyfriend revolution. And then that helps everybody. That's a win-win. It's a global win-win. So it's not necessary to be selfish. There's no need to be selfish. You can have your cake and eat it too. Okay? So your kunlong, your motivation or your intention, anytime you help someone, might as well be global, because it is already. So if you just recognize that anything you do is going to help the world, anything you do to reach a dream of your own in this system is going to automatically help the rest of the world. So you might as well think about that, and then the seed changes to something much more magnificent. And that's where Buddhism and the Yoga Sutra get the idea of the tseme, the limitless, immeasurable thoughts. Okay, how's it going, the Yoga Sutra? Maitri karuna mudito upeksha, upekshanam, for infinite thoughts. So if you understand emptiness of visiting a person in the nursing home, you automatically become, the motivation automatically becomes infinite, okay? Because I always had trouble, even in the Dharma Center where I started in the United States. We'd sit there and say, you know, Dagni Semjan Tanjila, for the sake of all living beings, right? In the monastery, it's a joke. We all have to do kitchen duty in the monastery. You're talking about crawling into the inside of a pot that was used to cook tea for 1,500 monks. You have to get in a ladder and then go in a ladder, and it's like 6 feet high and you're washing this pot. It's pretty cool, but it's not fun. And then you finish your kitchen duty and you go home, and then the debate master come, who's the disciplinarian of the monastery, and he's waving his rosary. Except the last one I had, he bought an extension cord with sharp edges on it. And he's like, he says, somebody did a Drola Penchir in the kitchen today. Drola Penchir means for the sake of all living beings. But it means to do something in a desultory way, in a lazy way, in a non-thinking way. So there's a joke in the monastery, oh, Drola Penchir, you know, you did that for all living beings. It means you weren't really thinking about it, and you just did a bad job on the pot, you know. So you don't have to do that, you know. I had trouble in my first Dharma Center. I was trying to be religious, and I was trying to say Drola Penchir, and I was really struggling to think about all the people in the world. And it was hard because there's so many. It just was frustrating. For me, it was frustrating. And I didn't feel that I was making much progress on it. But if you follow this kind of logic, if you go to a nursing home as a means of meeting your soulmate, you are already helping the whole world. Because if you succeed, which you will, because that's the correct method, people will copy you, and it will spread. If something is true, people aren't stupid. You see, if something works, they'll do it. You know, if they come out with some new headache medicine and it works, people are not going to buy the old one. They'll just use the new one, you know. I remember the first time I used a laptop to write a letter, you know, and I was like, I don't want to use a laptop to write a letter. It's so inelegant. I want to write a paper letter. And I can't remember writing a paper letter in the last 10 years or so. You know, like, if something's so useful, you'll use it. So anyway, if you understand that clearly, the motivation for any good thing you ever do can automatically be what the Yoga Sutra calls infinite. Think about the repercussions are going to be infinite. So if you could get $1 zillion out of an investment, or you could get $5 out of an investment, why not go for the zillion? Because it's the same investment. You see what I mean? The same amount of good karma will make you infinite results, or a small result. So why not just go the extra mental step and say, this is going to help everybody. If I succeed at the nursing home, it'll change the world. You know, why not think like that? It doesn't cost you anything. Okay, and it changes the karma radically. Okay? And I want you to think a lot about that Stephen Hawking thing, okay? Please. That according to physicists, I don't know if I have it exactly straight, but I don't think it matters with them. The universe was packed into the size of your thumbnail. The whole universe. Do you know how many stars there are? I mean, it's not like a million or... It's billions. And... in one galaxy, and then there are billions of galaxies. Like, it's beyond what you can imagine. There's billions of stars in this galaxy, and there's uncountable galaxies. And all the galaxies have, according to quantum theory, have popped out of something the size of your thumbnail. The karmas you are making now are the same. And just try to hook into that sometimes, you know. You can change a whole country. 5 DCI people can change China. It can happen. Because of the way karma expands. Don't think 2 times or 10 times or 100 times. It's 1 billion times. Play your karmic cards right and you can have no more lonely people in the world in 5 years, 3 years. Okay? Everyone can be going to the movies with the young people. It's not beyond, it's normal for karma. Karma acts, that's what karma does. Don't think it's some like weird thing. What's going on now in your life is also the result of a few small things you did, but you just don't recognize it, okay? All right. A misplaced subatomic particle in the mass which created the universe has created our galaxy. It's true. So karma is more powerful than that. Okay. Or we should say that came from karma. Anyway, okay. Here we go. It did.